Welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook. This podcast is brought to you in association with Game Refinery. Join us as we uncover the latest trends in mobile game design.
Hello and welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. I'm John Jordan, your host on the podcast that provides insight into what makes a great mobile game and all the latest trends in mobile game design. So today we are going to be discussing social mobile gaming and the features that go into making a global hit. Joining me this week is Erno Kiski, the Chief Analyst US at Game Refinery. And apparently, Erno, you're arguably the person who's played the most mobile games in the whole industry. So absolutely no pressure at all. How's it going?
No pressure at all. So yeah, well, I played quite a few games at my time here analyzing the market and what's going on, for sure. Well, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We expect nothing less from people at Game Refinery, so we play a lot of mobile games. So anyway, yeah. Cool. And our special guest this week, not that you're not special, Erno, but our special guest this week is Thor Fredriksson, and he's the CEO of Tea Time Games. How's it going, Thor?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Good. And a bit of background on you. Go ahead.
I just want to point out that even though Erno plays a lot of games, I think one of the privileges of being a CEO of a mobile gaming studio is that that's also a part of your job description. So I'm not sure if I've played more or less than Erno, but
oh dear,
dear God, over the last 10 years, I think it's going to be hard to beat me on that one, Erno. Yeah.
It's competition.
After the podcast, we'll have to spend some time. Yeah. You two working out who's played the most. Anyway, good. So two experts. I'm not going to get involved in the playing the most mobile games thing. I'll leave that to you.
It's one of the good things, though, when your children are asking, what are you doing? And I'm playing a mobile game somewhere. And I can always say, oh, I'm just working, which is, it's perfect.
Yeah. Cool. So a bit of background on Tea Time Games. So you're based in Reykjavik in Iceland, and you've just launched a couple of weeks ago Trivia Royale, which is riding high in the app stores, particularly strong in the US, and you're doing millions of downloads already. But listeners with a bit of history in the space may remember Thor's been around and some of the team at Tea Time Games at a company called Plain Vanilla. And back in the end of 2013, early 2014, you had a massive game called Quiz Up, which I think did over 100 million downloads. So you really are the social mobile gaming expert.
Well, I don't know what, if you want to call me that, but I think that at least in trivia, we have quite a lot of experience. And You're right, publishing QuizUp at the time was a massive adventure and we learned a lot in the process. And I guess that, that's why we keep on going.
Yeah, we're going to certainly get into that. But to kind of set the scene, Erno, what's been going on in terms of kind of social mobile gaming recently? What are the kind of key trends that you've been picking up?
Yeah, so of course, looking at the market, it's been a trend for a couple of years already that social is constantly evolving and social is getting more and more bigger part of the mobile gaming scene. So of course, we have the games that are all about the social, is built just around the social. Like for example, the Trivia Royale game. It's basically based on that. But something that we have also seen is the social increasing in genres that are not or haven't used to be kind of so popular with the social. Social mechanics haven't been so popular in those genres, so like matches and so on. But if you look at kind of the bigger trend of course, the COVID going on and so on, good example is Roblox, basically a platform of creating social experiences, creating your own games and so on. It's constantly rising. It's constantly on top of the charts. I just checked before this podcast that the Roblox hasn't dropped from Top Crossing 4 for the whole year. So it'd be basically Crossing 1, Top Crossing 2 in the US iOS constantly. So it's really, really high on there and really, really high on the downloads as well. Then, for example, Fortnite, also we are talking about a lot of in the industry about the metaverse and so on. They have just introduced the party mode a couple of months ago, basically an area for players to hang around, spend time, not just play the competitive shooter game in the game, but actually just be a place where you can hang around with your friends and so on. And this is actually something that we are here at Game Refinery have seen already happening much, much more in China. So in China, many different type of games in different genres are actually utilizing these kind of like a hang-around modes where players can hang around, chat with others, play small mini games. So there are games like, let's say, QQ Speed, which is basically a game where you compete against the others driving in a mini car. But there's also now this kind of like a social platform mode where you can just hang around and show off your cosmetics and stuff like that. So that's been increasing, for example, in China.
Mm. So kind of what we've seen generally, what we've discussed in a few of the podcasts before, is certain genres have very strong features, and they're so strong that they, you know, as the industry is now fairly mature, they're kind of spreading throughout. You're kind of seeing this kind of cross-pollination mashup, however you want to describe it, where the best features of all the genres are kind of spreading throughout all the other genres.
Exactly. So if you look at, let's say, for example, match three puzzles, which used to be a genre that there's no social interaction, basically. But if you look at the statistics, for example, from the match three puzzles, like for a feature called like guilds, for example, basically our social platform for building other social features on top of that. So match three puzzle where you build a community, you create a guild, and then you can build, like, let's say, tasks or some, like, you can develop the guild like in RPGs or so on, where you get like permanent boosts for the guild or so on. So what we have seen in the market that 61% of all the top grossing 100 games at the moment have guilds, and there have been steady increase, so 10% more compared to the 1 year before. And then actually, if we compare it to 2 years before, it has increased over 20%. And especially in the games like where the social hasn't been so big, like match three puzzles, the increase is actually even more. So in match three puzzles, we have seen year-over-year increase over 20%. So games like, for example, Candy Crush Soda Saga just introduced guilds, which is totally new for King. So they haven't had any kind of a social community features in their games before. And then we see those in Gardenscapes and Homescapes and Matching the Mansion and so on. And then they have built these kind of like task systems and leagues and stuff like that on top of those foundational social features.
Cool, excellent. That's a good setting of the scene. Now, Thor, let's talk a bit more about kind of how you've been approaching kind of social over the last, really, what are we now? Kind of 7-8 years now. So I guess you're the kind of experts. You become the experts in trivia. Why at the beginning was trivia such a interesting kind of way to build kind of social in mobile games?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't only do trivia games, but apparently so far those have been the ones that have been the most successful. So there must be something. Mm. but I think originally, I think the reason why we started doing QuizUp, or the inspiration for that, was actually that in Iceland, believe it or not, there is a very strong kind of a trivia pub quiz culture. And it goes to the extent that in Iceland, for example, we don't have any high school sports as you would have in the US. You have like a massive sporting of high schools competing against each other's, or college sports. But in Iceland, we have a college trivia tournament that is broadcasted on national TV. And it's one of the most popular TV shows in Iceland, actually. We have like a team of three from each college or high school battling it out in like quick questions on becoming the trivia king of Iceland, which is quite unique, actually. So in some ways, I think I was born up, I was like raised playing trivia. But so when we launched QuizUp, I think that the, like even though it was like late 2013 and the App Store was pretty early, there were still like thousands of trivia games out there. The one thing that we did differently, I guess, is that we pitched people against each other in real time, against real people. So up until that point, most trivia games were more of a single player experiences. But what we did is that we allowed people to play like either their friends or strangers around the world in a real-time game. And I guess that when we launched it, it was just, there was like this magical moment of being able to pick up your phone, select a category or topic that you were passionate about, and be like instantly matched up with a real person somewhere else in the world, playing together and competing in usually a topic that you were both passionate about. It was just something magical that happened, and the game got super viral. However, what we noticed, and we didn't really anticipate it at the time, was that we actually built in some like very rudimentary social features into the game. You were able to add a friend, you were able to chat with people, you know, in between matches and so forth. And we suddenly saw that there was a really, like, a much bigger percentage of our users that were actually making friends on the platform. And it actually, we discovered that, and this is crazy, that we know of at least 10 marriages that happened because of people that met on QuizUp, which is crazy. And I was even invited to two of those marriages. Probably the most surreal thing that ever happened in my career. So we, like in QuizUp, we had all these different topics, and they got very granular. That's, we saw that you know, the more niche a topic it is, the more passionate people get about it. And I was actually invited to a wedding of two people that met on the Game of Thrones category, because they were both huge Game of Thrones fans. And they like sent me an email and said, "We're getting married. We're so grateful to your game. We got connected. We got to meet each other there. And here's a Skype link. So if you would attend our wedding, we would be very honored," which I did. And I'll tell you, like, one of those things you'd never imagine you'd ever do in your life was to sit in front of a computer on Skype, having a computer somewhere else in the world with your face on it, and look at a Game of Thrones themed wedding where everyone was like waving to you in the computer. It's one of my top 10 surreal experiences. But, you know, this got me thinking, you know, people and like the evolution of mobile games that's happening now, where everything is turning more social, it doesn't surprise me. People just crave social interaction. It's a very, you know, deep need in us as human beings. And when we, like, when QuizUp was sold to Glu Mobile 3 years ago or so, I really, you know, when I was looking at the data from QuizUp, we were seeing that the users that actually were making friends and were chatting beside the game itself, their numbers, their metrics were like way better than the average player. They would have way better retention. They would have better engagement. They would have better conversion. Like every single metric was better if the player was also social, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
And this just got us, you know, thinking like, look, every game genre on mobile can be made better if you add a social element to it. If you like feel that you're playing a real person. Because historically, gaming is a very social activity. You know, before mobile games or before video games, you know, people would play board games. And half of the fun would be to, you know, enjoy the company of the people that you're playing the game with. You know, when you're playing Monopoly with friends, the best part is not the game itself. It is the look on your friend's face when he rolls a six and he lands right on your hotel, and the reaction and the bantering, and I mean, like, such a big part of the value proposition of gaming is the social element. And even if we go to video games like PlayStation or consoles, you know, you would have friends over and you would be playing a FIFA or NBA game, and like such a big part of the whole experience is the social part. And mobile games historically just don't have that part. They're missing out on a big part of the value proposition of gaming, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I guess in the kind of, I guess PC has generally always kind of had that social thing because it's a bit more of an open platform. But I guess for a long time, actually, you know, it's taken games maybe like, you know, 10, 15 years to really be embedded with this social thing. You know, when you played the first PlayStations, obviously they weren't connected to the internet at all. So it's taken, I guess, generally gaming has gone through a very single player into multiplayer into now, you know, as you pointed out earlier, this kind of idea of, we're seeing a lot of this talk about kind of multiverses, metaverses, whatever the kind of current phrase is, which is fascinating, but equally, you know, maybe another kind of step to the future.
Like we've had, even though the first PlayStations or the first PC games weren't multiplayer in that sense, these machines are more, they're not as personal as your mobile phone.
Mm.
So you would sit down and like friends would sit down in front of a PC and play a multiplayer game there. People would go to the arcade. It's a huge social, you know, element around that. You know, in history, Like Pong, the first mobile game ever made, was a two-player game. I'm just saying, like, in history, social has been a big part of gaming, whether it's in the part of the game itself. It's just that people used to play together, whereas the mobile phone is such a personal device that most of the games over the last years have been more in the sense of like solitaires. It's like you play them to pass time, and they're great at that, and they're like awesome games. And then you start to, you know, add social elements to it, like chat, guilds, as you mentioned, and they're great. They make the experience better. But mobile games haven't really yet been able to recreate that you're playing a real person in real time. And that's what we're trying to achieve here at Tea Time with our platform, at least.
Should we talk a little bit in a little more detail about Trivia Royale, mm-hmm. which is really fascinating. I do kind of like trivia. I guess I'm not. maybe I'm playing it for work, so maybe I fit into that category. So I did when it came out. I did play kind of quite a bit, and it was interesting because you use an avatar system, so you're not seeing real people, but you can basically, you know, people choose their kind of usernames, and you set your location. So it's kind of interesting from that point of view. You do feel like you're playing a real person, even if you've not got their kind of, mm-hmm. kind of real face. But how given that you've done kind of Quiz Up as a trivia game, a head-to-head trivia game, was Trivia Royale, how was it different more than just going, it's a Royale game? Because you start off, obviously, it's what we'd expect. We start off with 100 players. And then you go head to head, and then it kind of breaks down. You know, every round obviously gets smaller as half win and half lose. Was that the main thing? Because that's kind of playing into kind of the current kind of trend. So it's obvious to see. Well, Trivia Royale's successful because Royale now is a very popular thing. But was there more to it than just that aspect?
Well, I think the Royale mode was just like, it's just a game mode. It's fun, and it's something we picked up because it's current. And, you know, people like... But by the way, have you become a Royale yet? It's quite hard.
I was sixth today. So close. It's not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, a very small percentage achieved that.
It's bizarre. I was quite lucky. Not lucky, but the first time I started playing, I got to the final. And I lost, but that was quite early on, and then I think I peaked too soon, so I didn't. No, I'm not a Royale.
I think the biggest difference with what we were trying to achieve in a Trivia Royale was very, you know, connected to the avatar system and the social element. So as I told you in Quiz Up, we saw that the users that were social, they had much better metrics, much better retention, etc. So what we did try when we built our company and Trivia Royale on top of that is that we actually have been trying to find ways to make people feel like they're playing a real people. And we are using avatars in Trivia Royale. The story is a little bit longer, though, because actually 3 years ago when we started the company, we wanted to make... We didn't start with avatars. We actually started with live video. So we thought that, hey... Live video is like the most social you can get. How would it be if you could play like casual games and you would be like seeing your opponent, like it's real video? We would throw in some fun AR masks there. And we really thought that that would be the way that people would love to play social games. And we actually, like last year, we launched a couple of games using real live video. So they're in a similar format as you would see Trivia Royale, but instead of avatars, you would just see your face. Turns out people didn't like it at all. So people, like our thesis that people would love to see their friends and to be seen while playing a mobile game was just wrong. The thing is that when we were testing those games, we would always do it, you know, in very nice scenarios with good lighting, we'd look good, and you would hold your phone like at the right angle and you would be playing the game with others. It was great fun. It really worked. But when we launched games, we saw that people in general, they don't play mobile games at their best. They don't play it in brightly lit rooms holding their phone in the correct angle. They usually play it in their bed, in the bathroom, you know, lying in the sofa, holding the phone at a very unflattering angle to create a massive double chin on everyone. So people just didn't like it. And just, and I'm not even going to go into some of the moderation problems we got into, as you can probably imagine. So we just thought, like, look, what we're trying to create, and we think is the key, is to create like a low threshold way of like feeling that you're playing a real person, but not jeopardizing your anonymity because you don't want to be seen. And that's when we came up with the face tracked avatars. And we call this concept, and I think it's going to get quite big going forward, we call it identity with anonymity. So basically, we allow users to create themselves in the form of avatars, you know, have all sorts of fun, customizable items, really feel like the user is creating himself. And then we use the face tracking on the phone to mimic your, you know, it's like the Animoji or Memoji on iPhone, basically. And then push people together. And then you're actually able to see reactions of the other person when you get something wrong, or you can like chat with him between rounds. And this actually worked really well. People seem to like this, especially the younger demographics. So one of the results of this is that we are seeing a much higher social participation in Trivia Royale than we ever saw in QuizUp. So it seems that people just, they like the fact that they are playing real people. They are able to communicate with them through chat bubbles, through reactions, through emotes, you know, something similar to Fortnite, I guess. And it just has encouraged people to become more social. And that's what we are really excited about in our future titles, is to implement this kind of social interaction while playing mobile games with other people.
I don't know if it's just my kind of individual experience, how or whether it kind of scales across the audience. I felt that it was, surprisingly maybe, very much playing into a kind of a younger demographic than perhaps I thought and experienced with QuizUp, and a more female audience, although obviously you're just guessing, you're presuming that people were choosing the same gender in the game, which obviously they may not be. Is that backed up by any data you've got? Because I guess that would mean that you're playing into, you know, much wider social interactions that people are doing on their phones, whether that's, you know, kind of TikTok or WhatsApp or whatever.
No, you're absolutely right. We have seen that our demographics skew quite largely to younger females, and I would think, you know, it's, you know, when you do like UI tests, we did a couple of different ads when testing out like how different types of ads would work with different demographics. And we saw that like traditionally trivia games lean a little bit more to males. But in our case, we've like over 70% of our user base is females. And we saw that when we did ads that highlighted the avatar part, where you were able to customize your avatar, be able to communicate, that scored really high with younger females. So your assumptions are absolutely correct.
Oh, no. Have you been finding playing the game? What are your impressions?
Yeah, I really like it. I find the execution is super, it's super polished. It feels so good to play. Everything happens so quick. So I really enjoy the game. And I actually, when we were talking about this Royale thing and so on, it fits the game perfectly to me, because it brings this totally another level of intensity. For example, when I today got to the semifinals and I was kind of like almost there, it's like totally different type of feeling playing a trivia game that I have ever had playing any other trivia game. So this type of at least me personally, I think this is as mentioned. This is kind of a trend, but still it's a bit underutilized. So we see, for example, at the moment on PC console side, there's this huge viral hit called Fall Guys, if you have heard about that game. So it's basically an indie game, but it's now like huge viral hit on the social medias. Everybody is talking about it. And it's a basically simple platformer game where 100 players starts, and it's kind of like a battle royale mechanic. You go further and further and further. So that kind of like a casual game, casual approach, I feel there's the same kind of elements in that game as there is in the Trivia Royale, for example.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, good. So Thor, one question that I'm going to bring up here, and I guess it's the main, for me looking at the outside, but playing a bit of the games and seeing how the kind of the two companies their trajectories have gone. So QuizUp was a massive, you know, phenomenon. Did, you know, over 100 million downloads. You know, and particularly in the US, you were having an enormous amount of media attention at the time. But it seemed to be monetization seemed to be the main stumbling block for taking that massive download and that massive kind of a user base and making a kind of business that kind of scaled in a similar way. So how have you thought about monetization? Because I guess it is one of the things that, you know, on the casual side, people do struggle with. We've seen it with hyper-casual, really kind of, again, enormous, you know, millions, billions of people downloading these games, but very hard to actually get any kind of money out of them. And obviously, it is difficult because you don't have necessarily these very deep features as you would have in an RPG or a strategy game. So how have you rethought that to do that in a way that kind of means you can build a company that's successful, but also doesn't kind of alienate the audience that you have?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't think that anyone has thought as much about how to monetize trivia games as I have as in the last 10 years or so, or 7 years, because you're right. QuizUp was an enormous success, but we never really, you know, monetized it properly. And I think that was like a trend, you know, back in those days, you know, not only on apps, like, it, you know, it was with all these insanely popular apps like Tinder, Snapchat, whatever it is, you know, they got the traction and then they tried to monetize. We never made it on QuizUp. So we were kind of forced to sell the company off in 2016. So yeah, I've thought a lot about this. I think that trivia in general has challenges in monetizing. We have added a lot of different ways to monetize Trivia Royale. We have a throttling system with tickets. We have power-up system. And then we have the avatars and their different kind of vanity items that you can buy for them. And those are actually monetizing pretty well, better than QuizUp, though. But I think the main difference in strategy now is that when we did QuizUp, that was like the game that we were doing. We've spent the last 3 years not creating Trivia Royale, but we've been creating this social platform that Trivia Royale lives on top of, which makes it very easy and cheap for us to create additional titles using the avatars, using a same avatar login. So users in our future games are going to be able to, you know, take their progress, their avatar with them to other casual games, and especially in other casual games that have a higher monetization potential than Trivia Royale. That said, we are, of course, trying to use all of the best practices on how to monetize games and, you know, utilize Game Refinery for that, of course, seeing the trends of what monetizes the best. And I'm happy to announce that we are going to be implementing live events into Trivia Royale in the coming weeks, which we are very excited about, and I think is going to be both a great user experience and a great monetization element for us.
Mm-hmm. So going back to what we were talking about at the start, maybe it's almost like a casual metaverse that you're, you know, gonna
That's what we are trying to do, because we're seeing that people actually make friends on the platform. We're seeing that and the majority of friends made on Trivia Royale are new friends. They're not friends that you already have in life. And we can see that, like, from where people are adding friends. And these kind of connections have a big, both if users get invested in creating their persona, their avatar, and they create a friends graph and an interest graph within the game, that's quite valuable that we can then use and utilize to transfer people into other casual games, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. What do you reckon to that? Is that something? I guess you're maybe not the target audience, but is that something you could consider that by playing when you finally become a Royale and you kind of think you've conquered Trivia Royale that you want to go into another game because you'll have this kind of avatar history?
Yeah, but definitely that's my like first thought when playing that game. Well, like what would I personally add to the game? The first feelings, because there is already the great avatar system on top of that. So then, of course, like events and specific rewards from those, like specific vanity items, get that super cool Santa hat or whatever for the Christmas or stuff like that. And then, of course, I don't know, have you guys, for example, thought about kind of like a similar way as for example, the Fall Guys, the game I was talking about before, is using Battle Pass also, kind of like the Vanity Item Battle Pass on top of the super, super casual, simple casual gameplay.
Yeah, absolutely. We've looked at that Battle Pass and subscription models. The only problem with Battle Passes and like any sort of gacha mechanics is that I know that Fortnite only does vanity items, and that's the route we're going with in Trivia Royale. But when you look at games that, like, let's look at Golf Clash or any of like Archer or whatever it is, is that when you have equipment that actually you can update, you can upgrade, and it actually makes you better. It's just when you play trivia games, the only problem is it's really hard to buy items that make you better in trivia, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So that's a bit of a hurdle when it comes to implementing all of these, you know, battle pass gacha features that a lot of mid-core games implement. But you're absolutely right. Like live events, I think, is something that we're working on right now. And we are looking into implementing our version of a battle pass that we're quite excited about. So I think that, you know, Trivia Royale is only a 1 month old. We're seeing pretty good numbers on all fronts. And now it is the time to you know, adjust and integrate new features that will, you know, emphasize monetization. And that's what we're doing right now.
Can you dig a bit more into how you're approaching live events? Because I think it's interesting. One of the interesting things with trivia, obviously, there's lots of different subject matters, but because trivia basically is to a degree living in the real world, you can do stuff that's happening in the real world. You know, you can build obviously kind of topics around that. If Game of Thrones is over, but if there's, you know, you're building around kind of entertainment products as well, you do actually quite a lot of latitude to build to kind of ride on just general kind of marketing hype around some of these other things happening in the real world, and then kind of, you know, funnel that in, which would be much harder to do in other types of games.
Absolutely, that's one of the strengths of trivia. Actually, that, you know, it's relatively easy to create content, you know, and it's fast. So we can basically, you know, just look at what's current. We could have a COVID-19 trivia. No, I'm not going to do that. but you know, like a new movie premiere, a popular TV show. And, you know, on top of that, we can customize all sorts of vanity items that are thematic to that. So imagine, you know, just for an example, like 4th of May, you know, there's a Star Wars Day. You know, we'll have a live event on who knows the most about Star Wars. And we'll have a separate tournament about that. And the winners, they will get like a cool Darth Vader mask. Although we probably couldn't do that because of IP rights, but you get the general idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good. And is there anything you can say about your kind of future other products yet? Will the platform be open to other developers in future? Or is that all a bit too secret at the moment?
So we are building our platform as an SDK, basically. So we are just using our own SDK at the moment. But right now, we are building, we just really feel, and we've been testing out with, you know, a ton of different genres, but our general feeling is that almost all mobile games, all genres of them, can be made better if you are like playing with a real person and you sense that you're playing a real person, whether it's card games, whether it's even like more mid-core games, just that we just know that if you get social and if you play with real persons, all the metrics will go up. You will have better engagement, better retention. And our task now is to map out, you know, the different genres of games that we think will fit with our platform and work on our own and with developers and creating titles that use our avatar and our social system.
Excellent. Good. Well, I think on that point, I will wrap it up. Thank you very much for your time, Erno.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your expertise, Thor.
Thank you.
And I guess to round up, the casual metaverse is coming. So mobile game developers, start thinking about how to implement that, whether yourselves or talk to Thor and see if you can kind of start using his expertise. But thanks for listening, listeners. If this is your first taste of the Mobile Day Game Dev Playbook, we're creating episodes every month, so please subscribe. We're on iTunes or any other of your podcast services of choice, so keep up to date with us. And we're starting to build up a nice back catalogue now, so if you haven't listened to all our episodes, please delve back, where we cover lots of different kind of genres and what's going on. And maybe you can give us some review feedback as well. That always helps if you can give us some nice stars. But anyway, thanks for listening to this episode, and hope to see you next time.